Hi friends. This week it is the long-awaited return of Johnny and Yusuf from propanefitness.com, and it's the start of a new series. These catch-up episodes are going to have no agenda, no topic that we're particularly trying to cover. It's just going to be an update of what we've been reading in the news and looking at and listening to recently, and probably a lot of weird stuff from Yusuf as per usual. I want you to thank everyone who has supported us over the last few weeks. The play count is just going through the roof. We've just topped 5 million listen minutes over the last 12 months, which is just blowing my mind. Please continue to share the episodes. It's such a massive help. And don't forget to get in touch at Chris Willex on all social media. Also, I have so many episodes backed up now that I might actually start doing 2 a week. I was thinking maybe one on a Monday and one on a Thursday during the weeks where I've got quite a lot to release. So if you think that's a good idea, let me know.
This episode is brought to you by Crafted London. Finding men's jewellery that doesn't suck is very difficult, and Crafted London have nailed it. They're the number one men's jewellery company worldwide. They're sweatproof, waterproof, heatproof, and gymproof. They've got custom designs in gold and silver, necklaces, chains, pendants, bracelets, rings, and earrings. If you've seen me on any of the big cinema episodes on YouTube wearing a necklace, it will always be from Crafted. I absolutely love it. It works with formal wear, casual wear, whether it's daytime or nighttime. All of their pieces are super high quality. The designs are great, and I love them. It's all I wear. Also, they have an unlimited lifetime guarantee, so if your piece breaks for any reason at any point during the entire life of the product, they will give you a new one for free. Get a 15% discount site-wide on everything by going to bit.ly/cdwisdom and using the code MW15 at checkout. That's bit.ly/letter C letter D wisdom and MW15 at checkout. All right, quick maths. The less that your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have, the more money that you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce the costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you are improving efficiency by bringing all your business processes into one platform. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the maths and see how you will profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/modern right now. That's netsuite.com/modern. This episode is brought to you by Whoop. I have worn Whoop for over 4 years now, since way before they were a partner on the show, and it is the only wearable I have ever stuck with because it's the best. It is so innocuous, you do not remember that you've got it on, and yet it tracks absolutely everything 24/7 via something from your wrist. It tracks your heart rate, it tracks your sleep, your recovery, all of your workouts, your resting heart rate, your heart rate variability, how much you're breathing throughout the night. It puts all of this into an app and spits out very simple, easy to understand, and fantastically usable data. It's phenomenal. I am a massive, massive fan of Whoop, and that is why it's the only wearable that I've ever stuck with. You can join for free, pay nothing for the brand new Whoop 4.0 strap, plus you get your first month for free, and there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So you can buy it for free, try it for free, and if you do not like it, after 29 days, they will give you your money back. Head to join.whoop.com/modernwisdom. That's join.whoop.com/modernwisdom.
But for now, please welcome Johnny and Yusuf from Propane Fitness. Ladies and gentlemen, look who's joined me again. Johnny and Yusuf from propanefitness.com. It's been a long while. Welcome back.
Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to us.
So today we're doing a catch-up episode. No agenda, no topics in hand other than just what's been going on in our lives recently. So what's been going on in your life recently, Jonathan? What have you been doing?
Why would you get thrown under the hot potato?
There you go.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I have been on TV.
Today.
Love Island. Love Island 2019.
Christ. Love Island.
But you couldn't think of anything worse than going to Love Island. You're not allowed.
There
to
are some worse things.
Ads manager is.
You wouldn't be able to do your Facebook ads. So why were you on TV?
God. So I was basically put on TV by someone who wanted to go on Pointless but didn't have a partner. So if you don't watch Pointless, it's aired, I think it's 6 days a week in the UK. Have you ever seen Pointless?
No.
You've probably seen the bit that I was in.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that was very much like me before I realised, like, on the train on the way down, I should probably watch an episode of this.
Just so, trying to hotspot and quickly get an episode. Right, yeah. So there's a man, he asked me
so
questions.
in the warm-up, so you arrive, I'm in the room, and the woman said, sometimes people get to this point and they haven't seen an episode of the show. And I'm like,
like, so that is a common problem then. It's not like, because I thought you would be the only person.
She was making that out to be, at least it's not that bad. You know, at least it's not that ridiculous.
And you're just like,
Because when you're there, you're in their world and everyone's there taking it very seriously. And the fact that you think it's all pointless and stupid, isn't funny. And it's not funny to you either because you're about to go on national TV and potentially be made look like an absolute prick. But it actually went all right. It actually went all right.
Can you tell us about your jumper?
So I called Johnny the day before he had to go down.
And he was the day of.
You said, I can't talk. I'm in Primark. I'm having a nightmare. I wasn't allowed to wear any of my jumpers and I have to get a plain orange, green or blue jumper.
Couldn't be
green.
So the blue Video had to be specific blue.
Oh, okay.
Which is why it was the blue that I was wearing.
And you only have navy
so you're jumpers. Not the biggest problem is you're not allowed anything with a logo.
Yeah. And you'll have had an embroidery that's 3 centimetres tall. Mm. Like visible only from up close, but was too allowed. Much. Yeah.
So that's all my clothes.
You had a name tag, didn't you?
Yeah.
So can they not just stick that on top of the logo?
It depends on the position.
So name tag's also got a very...
They try and line the name tags up because I'm taller than...
Has to be at the middle.
What, so was yours at your belly button?
Mine was, yeah. No. It was slightly... Mine was mid-thigh.
Yeah.
It's just not how it appears. But yeah, it was fine. It was quite stressful.
You came across very well.
Thanks.
I'm excited. Anyone who has not seen Johnny's episode of Pointless, it's now available on BBC iPlayer.
Only for the next 29 days.
Okay. So hurry the hell up.
Mm. You need to go and watch it now. Do you know what episode number it is? No.
12.
Thank you.
Is that a joke?
No.
I'll if I can find it, I'll put a link in the show notes below. So go and watch. Yusuf, what's been going on in your life? What's been happening?
I've just been deep in the work cave. Unfortunately, there's not. You can see from my pasty complexion, I'm racially Arab. And you wouldn't know.
It's all been sucked out of you.
Yeah. So I've got my finals coming up. So in 3 months' time, if I pass, then...
Doctor.
You could be looking at someone's ailments.
So are the semi-finals now?
So these are the semi-finals.
Right, and then you qualify into the finals.
Into the tournament and the premiership.
There's a round robin, isn't there, at the start?
Yeah. That's all the football words I know in 5 seconds.
Offside.
Premierships.
Yeah. Are you showing off? You're showing off with your double pigeon, aren't you?
I've got a slightly tight left hip, as always happens when I sit on this fucking sofa.
Yeah, it's a different sofa.
I've seen you on that podcast with the giant. He's always
got a tight hip. There was someone who commented on the Love Island video saying, why is that blonde guy so big?
Yeah.
And you're like...
Because you were just like...
Yeah. That was when you were at peak 105 kilos as well, wasn't it?
So the interesting thing, so there's another episode of Pointless, right, that's yet to air. So I thought it was going to be on tonight. It wasn't on tonight. So there's obviously a gap because there was a gap in filming of like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, I think I gained about 5 kilos and grew my hair.
So you look like a completely different...
Yeah, so fair enough.
And they're like, oh, you've ruined the continuity.
I bet they were about to run them day by day and they're like, fuck. Like, we can't now. Because they say, like, try not to change your appearance. And I'm like,
sorry, mate.
I just commenced on Project Top Knot. I just moved up a weight class. Well.
So when in the intro bit where they're like, oh, Johnny, hello, welcome. What do you do? And you were like, I'm an online fitness coach. And they were like,
well, what's that?
Yeah.
So you know, you work in a gym at home and then you tell people.
No, that's not what I do.
Pyjamas.
Yeah, one of the lads the other day had a Skype interview for a placement and one of the boys that he lives with took a photo from the side and he'd gone full suit from the waist up and boxers from the waist
that's
down.
Excellent.
The Trevor McDonald.
Yeah.
What's been happening in Chris? Inside of Chris?
Inside of
the quiz conversation.
No. We went to a... We did a... What is there in your water?
There's a pube.
I don't think it's a pube.
Maybe it's one of my beard hairs.
It's unlikely.
Most likely. Most likely, yeah.
It's funny how you just assume short hair is pube, a pube. Short hair, actually, yeah. It's more likely to be...
I think someone saying there's a pube is very year nine.
There
used to be jeans called pubes. Am I made that up?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think so.
Another year nine thing. Wearing the chain with your wallet on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your school trousers.
Clip it on and then it comes back and then your wallet goes in your pocket.
Yeah.
Just in case someone was going
to
steal.
People used to wear South Park characters on their jeans. You remember them?
Oh, it's like with
little
Stan.
Used to have a little Ken or a little Kyle.
Year seven.
Stan.
Flat hair and then...
Yeah, and shockwaves, well, wet look.
Shockwaves or vertical. Cream, yeah.
We went to a meditation retreat, didn't we?
We did. We did a one day in Harnam Monastery called
Harnam
Aruta Nigiri in
Belsay.
Beautiful place.
It was amazing, but it was really difficult. For anyone who is considering doing a meditation retreat, it's really fucking hard.
The physical part of it that's hard, isn't it?
Oh, it's just staying awake. Like, do you know, really? being sedentary, but also staying awake, but having your eyes closed. Like, it's an odd blend of.
So where did you sit?
On the floor.
Outside, inside.
So we did pretty much 50-50 of either walking or feel out, as in outside meditation versus feel in sitting. So I was sat in a beanbag or walking around a lake, which was pretty beautiful.
But is there like a room in the monastery that you go to?
There's a number of rooms.
Is there?
So we went and sit in the Dharma Hall. Where they've got sandalwood burning and a big Buddha statue just a rack full of different cushions, and you can choose like the cushion based on your preference.
So, and were there other people there?
Pretty much no one. Yeah. Quite quiet. They should speak to us at Voodoo Events, like we'd get that place.
Fill it.
Buzzing.
But they'd love that.
Yeah, like VIP cushions.
Yeah.
Q jump cushions.
Yeah, exactly.
Buy one, get one free cushion.
Yeah, that's all of the above. What else has been happening? A lot of podcasting. Podcasts with Rory Sutherland, which you enjoyed. Anyone who has not listened to the episode with Rory Sutherland, go and check it out now. It will be in the show notes below.
Chris getting absolutely pied.
Railroaded. Yeah. It is excellent. Good episode.
So during the podcast with Rory, the British gas man came around to fix his boiler because he'd had a problem. And Rory's a little bit like, kind of like Brian Blessed from Blackadder. And he's a big sort of gruff British man, and he speaks like that, and everything's a bit fucking shit, isn't it? And he, the British gas guy came round. Obviously, I've cut bits out, but I had to, I endured the entirety of the exchange, and it was just hilarious. This British gas guy comes back after he's set him away, and we're still podcasting, and I left this bit in. Sure, and if he comes back into the room, and he's like, mate, it's all done in there now. Chris, one second. What's that? It's all fit. Bloody hell, already? Yeah, well, you had three leaks actually, coming one at the top, one in the middle, one at the bottom. I must give you £20. And he goes, no, mate, it's absolutely fine. He's like, no, I insist. What day is it? It's Friday. Have a good weekend. And then he gets back on the podcast, and he hasn't put his headphones in yet, and I didn't realise, and I said, Rory, is that a smartwatch you're wearing? Right, so, Asia. And I'm like, oh, fuck. For anyone who's listening, it just sounds like I've had the biggest cream pie ever. But
so I was going to ask you whether he tipped him, because I just heard that, no, I insist.
Yeah, I think he got 20 quid out of his wallet and gave it to him.
The thing that I really liked about him is the way he swears.
Very tactical.
Yeah. Because, you know, when sometimes people use swearing as filler, the way he swears really makes it sound better.
It's a better sentence. Yeah.
Because he said fucking. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's because it's very deliberate. I think some people swear when they're thinking of words and buying for time. Whereas this
you do that, don't you? Constantly.
all the time. But it's idiosyncratic as well for a lot of people, whereas his is very deliberate, very precise speech, which I think is that precise speech is one of the... If you were to design a good podcast guest, all of the best podcasts that I've done are with people who are precise with their speech. There's nothing more or less than they need to say, and they say exactly what they need to.
Yeah.
I just think his opinion, I feel such an affinity with him because of his opinion towards the Shatafa, which is the bum spray, the high pressure bum spray that they use. Because he was like, in what other world would you get a bit of poo on your face and just, I'll just wipe that off with a bit of dry paper. It'll be fine. It's a disgrace. I mean, it's absolutely barbaric. I mean,
in what other... the Arabs, they've got it. They've got it right, haven't they? And it goes, the
bit where he's... I don't know how I feel about this.
What about the bum spray?
Yeah.
Wet toilet paper, people think it's just for fucking perverts, don't they?
Things for people with medical problems and but so he says that if we put those pre-wetted toilet papers rather than on the top shelf of the supermarket where it looks like the pervert shelf, if you just put it somewhere that's really accessible, then you can turn it into a mainstream thing.
Well, I just I was saying this to Yusuf, like his job is just to sit and think, isn't it?
At the top of a big mountain.
He's at the top of a big organisation and he's just got a big chair in a room.
Cigar.
Where he just Chesterfield.
And thinks about, like, where might the world be going?
So if you go on Ogilvy's website... and if
he's not on there, is he?
No, no, he is. So I implore you to go on and have a look. And it says, Rory Sutherland, Vice Chairman of Ogilvy Advertising. And below that, I swear to God, one of the first couple of sentences is something akin to... Rory created his own job title, which is purposefully vague. Like, mate,
Is there a chairman?
Yeah, there will be. But it must be on the board, I'm going to presume, as well. Mm. But then there's, like, Ogilvy UK, Ogilvy, blah, blah, blah.
Because David Ogilvy is dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now he's set up this massive...
All over the world, man. They're all over the world. But yeah, I mean, when some of the stuff he said about, like, you know, I do think that the Russians are probably pretty shit drivers on, you know, on balance. But that's because of every car seems to come with a bloody road traffic camera at the front of it. And you're like,
so speaking of which, that's another. So I've been rear-ended twice in the last month
in a car. We should clarify.
Yeah. In a car.
Yeah.
One was my fault. One wasn't. So the guy who was my fault paid for the one who wasn't, so I'm break-even.
And you've had two great experiences in the middle of it.
Two incredible experiences. You know what it is? As soon as you feel that impact, the sense is, it's not like, my neck, it's just all of the admin flashes before your eyes. All of the, like, my God, bright light. The paperwork. Like, that's way more painful than any whiplash could do, because you're like...
There is certainly something afoot here. I think things
come in clusters like that.
Well, I'd love to know. So I have a theory that people with dash cams get in more accidents than people without dash cams. So
ironically, my dash cam, I got a crap one and it didn't record when it actually needed to work. So got re-rendered the first time, tried to take my dash cam out, plug it into the computer, and it records like 30-second clips of journeys that I've done 5 years ago, and nothing about the accident that I had. And then because it was still at home, I was trying to get the footage from it.
When I got it wasn't in when you got hit the second time.
So I'm just going to get rid of it and buy a dual facing one, because you think most...
Well, hang on, did you just have one facing in one direction?
Just a front facing.
Okay, yeah.
So to get a dual facing one that connects to your phone or Wi-Fi is almost impossible.
Really?
Yeah, the reviews...
Gap in the market. Someone who has access to small portable video cameras.
Does it just record onto a hard drive and then reset?
So it records on loop, yeah. And then it has... Some of them have a sensor, so if it has an impact, it'll save the last...
That's clever.
10 minutes.
So, I mean, a lot of the stuff like Canary is... I think it's 28 days that it records on cloud, and then after 28 days, it'll just...
I don't know what Canary is.
Home security.
Yeah, same as Nest or whatever, right. Speaking of which, Darren got a Nest. I think I've told you this before.
Mm.
He got a Nest, which is like a smart thermostat for your house. And because him and his wife have got a young child and dogs, and he has a chaotic working environment, like there's no
Sorry.
Vibrating phone during a podcast is that
what do you want me to do?
Is it like turn it on silent?
That's on silent.
But it vibrates.
Yeah.
Is that what happens at night?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
It's only good things, I've told you.
That's disgusting.
I don't mind. Who doesn't mind being woken up by a really good thing?
That is a story that... I don't know whether we've mentioned this, where I came to pick Johnny up at 7 a.m. for a competition. We were going to Leeds.
I think we have spoken about that, but...
Oh, okay.
Go on.
Went to his family home, knocked on his door. This was a few years ago. Mum answered the door, and I was like, have you seen Johnny? She was like, no, I've not seen him. I don't know where he is. And I just hear footsteps running down the stairs. Johnny's like... Oh, like bleary eyed, like, what time is it? It's like, it's 7:25. Like, oh God. And he was like, right, you know what's happened? my Apple Watch at 4 a.m. woke me up and just said, beep, beep, you've been sat down too long, time to get up. So I got up and like, and then my girlfriend was like, what are you doing, Johnny?
Are you training?
It's 4 in the morning. And I was like, So
went to normal masturbation.
So he went back to sleep and then it didn't wake him up.
When you actually needed it. This is when we try and optimize too hard. Like, so there was a good tweet that Jordan put out yesterday, that George put out yesterday, saying about asymmetric risks. And one of the biggest...
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Naval Ravikant via George.
Oh, got it. Okay.
But it wasn't Naval, was it? It was Naval Ravikant bot, which is owned by George. If you are on Twitter, check out Naval.
So meta, isn't it?
It's Naval bot, NavalBot, and it's just like... aphorisms that are unbelievable on loop. One of the biggest asymmetrical risks is single alarm clock. It's dangerous, man.
Yeah, because like one day when it fails.
Yeah, that's the day that you really, really need it. Yeah. So
it's asymmetric risks and asymmetric benefits.
Opportunity.
So in other words, the size of the gain is smaller than the risk.
Yeah.
The size of the risk is smaller than the cost.
Entering a position with a small stop loss and a very very large take profit.
So are the opportunities.
Yeah.
So what's the other one?
That has a small massive, upside. Small upside, massive downside.
So for me,
texting while driving. Yeah. Is the
texting while driving, texting another person while you're in a relationship is another one. Like you're going to get a very limited upside benefit to that.
Or doing multi texts with another person.
Yeah.
Was it you that said like if you had to show the text that you were writing while driving in court?
Ben.
Yeah. And like, let's say you had a crash or you killed someone, you hit a pedestrian, and then in court they're like, well, what text were you writing? And you're like, lol, or like just some...
It's so fucking like, vapid shit. Yeah, it is.
The trouble is, when you're next in the car, watch how many people coming the other way are looking at the road. So few people.
Yeah.
And then you think, if they veer off, what am I going to do?
So with automated car, what's it called, self-driving cars... Apparently there's like a 100 or 1,000-fold less risk to die by a self-driving car than it is to die from it. But people prefer to be, they're scared of self-driving cars because they would prefer to die by their own hand, even if it's 100 or 1,000 times more.
Me and you both quote tweeted the same thing, that we would prefer to die by our own volition than live at the behest of a machine.
Unbelievable.
Mm. You like?
So I suppose it's when the machine goes wrong. It's the destroying a planet to make paperclip scenario, isn't it?
So the problem that people have with it is that for some reason they're prepared with a huge amount of real risk that comes from humans, a huge amount of human risk, but this tiny... And then they obsess about, well, what if it's a mother of three versus a pram with a baby? And you're like...
When is that ever going to happen?
How
do you make that decision?
Yeah, okay, so it's a utilitarian
argument. Somehow better to leave that decision in the hands of a human who's just going to be like,
I'll kill them both.
Crash in a shop and kill 10 people.
Yeah.
Let Tesla just make a judgment. Value cost of life and just make the best decision.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Outsource everything to Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what else I've been listening to recently. The End of the World with Josh Clark.
That sounds... cheery.
Link will be in the show notes below. It is the most advanced and clever use of the podcast platform that I've listened to so far. So if you can imagine a 10-episode podcast series where he is talking about different existential threats, asteroids, AI risks, physics experiments, all sorts, everything, very, very comprehensive. And the entire show has been engineered by very, very clever sound engineers, and there's soundscapes going on in the background. So as he's talking about traveling through space, there's like whooshing space sounds and kind of low level music and rumbling when he'll talk about asteroids.
It's gonna be great on 3x speed. Just white knuckling the steering wheel.
So here's the thing.
That is such a unique problem to have.
I don't listen to I do listen to audiobooks on 2x speed. I listen to podcasts as they are. I think I see a podcast as
leisure.
Leisure. But an audiobook is like, I'm reading this for work to gain information.
But you just see all audio as wasting your time.
How do I consume it as rapidly as possible? To be honest, three times pushes my limit a bit. But
because it's like,
you can't even get. So the only way that you can get three times speed is by going into specific kinds of apps. So if even if you're
hacked scone app,
if you're listening now on Apple Podcasts, I implore you to try this out. If you press the multiplication thing, it'll go 1, 1.5, 2, 0.5.
So,
oh really?
Yeah. I'm using a new podcast app called Castro, which is excellent, but it only has like 1, 1.2, 1.5, up to 2, and then the next speed up is 3, and 2 is too slow for me, and 3 is a little bit too fast. But that's me.
But would you like an egg?
Or would you like an
egg? And it metastasizes into bone cancer.
How do you explain that?
So it was just in Iceland, you were listening to some really kind of droll guy talk about all the different ways that shin cancer can become cancer everything can else.
Yeah. So I was sat, my bedroom was the living room. So I was on the sofa and Yusuf was very unwell for the entire time. And I just could, I'd wake up two mornings. The first morning I woke up to Yusuf standing wearing a woolen hat and some shorts cooking on a portable hob in the corner of a room.
That thing blew me away, by the way.
The portable hob?
Yeah. It's like a, if you close a laptop and make it twice as thick.
That's a hob.
And it's a, yeah, it's a hob. It's
like Scandinavian, how is it generating the heat?
Unbelievable. Like,
but yeah, so
they just value space efficiency.
It's slow proof. So Yusuf's like crouched over this hob with a pan, turns around and says, would you like an egg? Single egg, boiled egg. That was what he was offering me for my breakfast, which I declined, I believe.
Mm. So I think we only had 3 left, so it was just going to be
an egg each. Yeah.
And then we bought some Lucky Charms, is that what they're called? Which were the cheapest cereal in Iceland.
They were £9,400.
As opposed to 9.5 grand.
There was a discount.
£9,500 to get into the supermarket, then £9,500 for...
Should we talk about Fyre Festival again? I've already talked about it with Alex Cortez, but it's just so good. Did you watch this?
I've seen it now.
Have you?
Yeah.
Did you watch it at normal speed?
Normal speed, on you and Ben's recommendation.
Did you watch it with Amy?
Yeah.
Right.
So the only times I'm forced to watch things at normal speed are if there's other people in the
room. When you say something that doesn't fit into, this is what Yusuf does, you've got to find the reason
there's
why.
There's a justification.
Like, is he unwell? Yeah. Or is it?
Is he unwell?
Yeah.
So one of my favourite, to segue before we go on the Fyre Festival, one of my favourite things is where you say you can have a £5 discount on massages that you give people. So you're a trained masseuse, but you offer people a £5 discount if they allow you to listen to whatever podcast or audiobook you're listening to at the time. But obviously, if you flip that on its head, what you could look at is there is a £5 surcharge if you don't want to listen to what I'm listening to at the moment.
That's a good point.
And £5 is so arbitrary as well, isn't it? It's like it's enough that you'd probably sit and think, like,
do I want that?
Because also, someone will say yes. Because I remember Gibbo saying he was having a, he was like, Yusuf was giving me a massage. Something about funnel marketing,
metastasizing in
really
skin cancer.
Understand it, but it was okay, I suppose.
Something and about straddle options in the Russian equity market.
It's actually, you should charge people for that.
It's free content.
Like, the stuff you've got access to.
Excellent educational content for you.
Yeah. But a lot of it's paid. Like, it's either part of a £9,000 a year degree or a paid program.
That's a good point, actually. Like, it is value adding.
Yeah.
But it's just
very specific.
They recognise the value. Yeah.
Not if you're on OSend.
Not if you're on OSend, yeah. Yeah.
And then to bookend that conversation, when you've finally got onto the life hack of getting your haircut at home, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Thank you.
But before the hairdresser went round to his, she texted me to say, like, hang on a second, I'm about to go around to this person's house that I've never met before. I probably should think about my own safety. Is he a weirdo? And I'm like,
Because you said, like, no more than I am.
Yeah, that doesn't really say much. If the canary in the coal mine is me, like, that's probably... But, and then apparently, so I knew that this was going to be... I could foresee the SCOBY problem occurring, like, which was that...
He's not a touchy kind of
no,
tie you up weirdo. Yeah. He's just...
It's what you listen to.
You make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. So what I had in my head, and I knew it was going to happen, and sure enough it did, was that Yusuf was going to be sat down and he would be forced to make small talk with someone in his house, but he would know that at that point all that he needed to do would be like press the play button. But that there's too many, you know, like that as your on-ramp, like introduction, Yusuf 101. Like, you can't have Yusuf 101 as...
Well, that's it. Oh, God, you know.
And I messaged her the next day and I was like, did he play anything? And then she was like, no. I was like, fucking no, hell.
I did. So I gave her a 10-minute grace period of small talk. And then I was like, right, I think we've reached the threshold of, like, I've established that I am that I can pretend to be a normal enough human for 10 minutes. Hey, I'm just listening to the middle of a podcast. Can I? And I was like, you know what? I'll be nice. Let's put the speed to a normal. I think I put it on like 1.2 and hope she wouldn't notice. But it was Stan Grof talking about like the psychoanalytic map of human consciousness.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that she loved that.
Yeah.
Like, she spends all day hearing people talk about Reveal magazine.
Mm. Fair. Well, to be fair, it's quite it was like the cartography of archetypes of
Jesus Christ.
Jungian architecture. Yeah. It was
so Firefest, tell me what you think, because I'm absolutely fucking amazed to find out what you thought about it.
So for anyone that doesn't know, I suppose, Fire was a really impressively, it was a festival.
It was an app.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so started off as an app, and then they decided to launch a festival off the back of it. Very good at hype. They hired a lot of supermodels and high definition, like high production value stuff to go and film the promo for a festival out in the Bahamas, buying one of Pablo Escobar's old islands, and they were going to host it there.
So they said,
yeah. And so they made it look like an amazing experience, got a lot of high profile people, like, a bit weird, like Blink 182 and Ja Rule, like all like captains of 1996. And so they then.
But, do you know what's amazing? That you would have looked at that lineup and gone,
I've heard of them.
What the fuck? Sounds all right. That sounds okay. I
think I'll book my ticket. Oh, yeah. It's £10,000.
741. Yeah. I've heard of those people.
So. The obviously it all fell down when they actually went to implement it and realised that the island had no infrastructure, the organisation was a complete mess, and just seeing the whole thing progressively fall apart. The way that the documentary is made is so impressively stressful as well. Did you find this, where like you sat there and you're like, oh.
Well, my empathy as a business person just had me, like, I was white knuckling.
I was thinking it's right up your street, because it's like...
For any of the club promoters that are listening, it is just, it's all of our worst nightmares rolled into one.
At what point could you tell that it was going to go wrong?
Game over.
I realised like, that's the whole premise of the show.
Pretty soon, I think. Like, as soon as they talk, because it's the stuff that you don't think about, the infrastructure of things like bio-waste disposal. Like, the problem wasn't
really
selling the events.
Stuff.
Getting rid of poo. Where do you put the poo? You're like on an island.
$100,000 worth of Evian water that the ops director had to go and suck off the customs officer. And I turned up there fully prepared to suck his dick. And you're like...
He got loads of positive...
He's a legend.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what the other thing is as well?
Either way, it couldn't
be. Yeah, it's true. But so, yeah, I mean...
people be like, it's a bit weird.
Yeah. I thought it was really, really... I've watched it twice now. That's how much I enjoy it.
I felt very sorry for him. I might watch it again.
Billy McFarland?
No, I felt very sorry for the dick sucking man.
That's really arrogant of him. Because basically the customs officer held, was it 100,000 litres?
$100,000 worth. I think it was like
140,000.
Three articulated lorries worth.
Okay, so $140,000 customs charge. And the guy said that he was going to go over because the customs officer was gay and try and seduce him.
No. Everyone told him that this is what he had to do.
This is what he had to do.
Yeah, so he was, like, commandeered as, like, you're the highest profile gay man that we've got. Like, you'll put a dick in your mouth.
It's so arrogant to think, like, for me to give someone a blowjob, it's worth $140,000. Like,
I suppose it's just all you've got at that point, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, it's either that or...
What would you have done?
If it was the other way around, who would pay that much? I don't think anyone's ever paid $140,000 in the world.
Can have to be a good blowjob.
They definitely will have done.
You're absolutely...
140 grand?
Yeah. Why not?
Because you just find someone that would be willing to take 139.
You do a reverse. I don't think the person in the moment of the transaction
is that being
quoted 140 grand and thinking...
Mm, how's he paid it? Stripe.
Oh no, 2.9% charge.
The fee would be sickening.
Honestly. But if you absorb that as the vendor, you'd be like, for 140 grand blowjob.
Are you a registered business? You could claim VAT back on the transaction. And,
yeah, you can.
No, I don't think you could. What's the input VAT? There is none. It's a nightmare.
It is.
It's an absolute nightmare.
It's fucking perilous, isn't it?
140 grand blowjob.
But yeah, I mean, one of the main things, I said this to Alex on the podcast, was that the big difference, and this shows how seduced we are by success, the only reason that everyone slates that, the guy that ran it and the festival itself, is because it failed.
Mm-hmm.
And if the stars had aligned sufficiently correctly, and a bunch of very lucky things, the water had got sorted and the tents had got sorted and it wasn't that weekend where all of the yachts were there and the islands. And, yeah, and it hadn't rained and this, that and the other. A bunch of things, basically his preparation and skill level and virtue and integrity hadn't moved at all on the meter, but all of the luck was turned up to 11 and it all worked fine.
So if it was still fraudulently gaining capital and all that stuff, but things
had been successful, we'd be hailing him as the fucking...
Yeah.
And it's... purely because we are so seduced by success.
Mm,
we want to be attached to success so much that it is by any means possible.
So I think he's a pretty smart bloke.
So six years in jail now, is it?
Yeah.
Not that smart.
So, but obviously, yes, that part's not smart. But like, I think there are not very many people who could guess something to that point.
Did you trust him? Did you think he was a charismatic guy?
No, I didn't. No, you don't trust him, I don't think.
Yeah,
he didn't come across at all as trustworthy.
He seemed, yeah, he's got something weird about it. Even as, like, he's got a strange gait when he walks.
It's smarmy.
And it's, yeah.
He's obviously got some sociopathic kind of, like, detachment tendencies.
Because his facial expressions looked as if they were engineered. Like, do you know what I mean? As if he'd, like, thought, how can I, like...
He was metacognizant for the entire time that he was... Do you know what I mean? Like, he was thinking, like, what would Billy McFarlane say in this moment.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a Hulu version, which I'm yet to watch. There's a same thing, but different documentary. And the Hulu version focuses a lot more on him.
Right.
Which I'm looking forward to watching. And apparently in that, there's some footage from when he's in court. There's this fucking crazy American system where you can just like take a camera in a court and like just watch what's going on. And yeah, apparently there's this bit where they say, basically, did you say this? He says no. And they say, here's a video of you saying that you did say it. And you can see, apparently, he's... there's, like, a cognitive dissonance. Of just, yeah, where he's like, hang on a second. Like, I did, but I didn't, but I did, but I... And you're like, hang on. It's obvious that he's a compulsive liar.
Yeah.
Who is unable to reconcile a number of different things that happen.
If you look at what he... I know he didn't deliver on the product, but the
the prep was very good.
Someone's made a fucking documentary about him.
Yeah.
And so you think, like, everyone's very quick to criticise, and I completely understand that, but the fact is, he made a big wave out of an idea.
You need to just put him in the marketing department and have him just very confined. Think of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, don't let him near the ops. Like, don't let him fucking order the coffee.
Like, but even stuff like getting everyone to post an orange tile.
Yeah,
I thought that's so clever.
It's a very good idea. Just keep him like cordoned off.
Yeah, give him a room,
safe room,
and a whiteboard.
Nick
can stay in there, mate.
And a camera. He can just do what
he
wants.
Yeah.
So, do you think he was delusional or deceptive?
Combination, because I don't think that you can have that degree. I don't think there's any amount of deception which would allow you to continue something when it's obvious it's not going to work.
Also, when things were going wrong and he was like, guys, we can't think about that. We've got to be positive.
We're a solutions-based business, not a problems-based business.
So is that just like blind faith in his own ability and thinking, no, we've got to be positive about this. Like, just let's Tony Robbins this up as hard as we can. Or is it like he knows that it's going wrong, but like just doesn't want, he's holding on to his
position. It probably switched. So I imagine he didn't start off thinking, let's make this big scam.
I'm
actually starting off thinking this is going to work. And you know when that guy like prices it all up and says, mate, this is like 30 million quid.
Over budget, yeah.
And you've got 6 weeks to do it in. It's normally done in 6 months.
Yeah.
At that point, 12
months,
it's like,
I think they said.
Really?
Yeah.
At that point, it's like, fucking hell, like I either shit, I'll get off the pot here. Like, I better just go balls in with this and just hope it works.
The thing that was most impressive for me was where they were saying, so we'd run out of money and then Billy would jump on a jet and go back to New York, and then he'd come back with another $3 million in his pocket. And you'd be like, Billy, what the fuck? He's sucking like whatever, 30 cocks. That's what he's saying.
Do you think that's what he was doing?
30 times 140 minus handling fee minus
I see.
Tax.
So, right.
I don't think that's really what he was doing.
No, but...
But he was just lying about his finances, wasn't he, to get the funding.
Do you see that he said he held a number of Facebook options and he had like $10,000?
I remember that.
Like $5,000.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because his previous business was like, he sold it for a really small amount, but...
Because it felt to me like someone with a gambling problem.
Yeah.
Like, he loves the thrill of it and doesn't want the idea to die.
Some cost.
So it's like, oh, well, I'll just tell that lie and I'll just lie as well. It'll all work out in the end somehow. Like, the one turn of the wheel, I'll eventually play
needs
in my favour.
Needs to read Sam Harris. That's what he needs to do.
What's that called where you the Chinese thing where they make you take incremental commitments that are slightly off your moral radar, but because they're so small, you keep taking larger and larger ones until you're just deep down the hole and then you...
Sounds like Darren Brown.
Sound like a day shirt, it's not Darren Brown.
I think Darren Brown probably leverages that particular process very much. Yeah.
It's the reverse of compounding interest, isn't it? It's like a number of small compounding bad decisions, and before you know it, you like strung up by your nipples in Russia somewhere.
But it just seems fine because it was only one extra decision away from... Yeah. One nipple,
each time.
Both nipples.
Yeah. Have you seen the Ted Bundy tapes yet, Johnny?
No.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's my God. Yusuf's seen something that you've not seen.
I started watching it, but I was like,
it's pretty fucking good.
Is it good?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Great.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
He's just a very charismatic, good-looking guy that...
Happens to be a psychopathic killer.
Systemically naughty.
Although there is still a divide between, I think, the person that he thinks he is and wants to try and be. Very much like the Billy thing, actually. It's quite scary.
There's a lot of... That's where my mind's...
There's another one that James Bailey recommended me to watch,
which
I've seen, called Abducted in Plain Sight.
So I've watched that. That's fucking weird. Christ. You should watch that.
Is Maddie McCann on it?
No.
Similar.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Like,
why? Give us a synopsis.
So that...
That's out of the three shows that you've mentioned, that's easily the...
And it gets
the best.
I stood up to get a drink, right? I'm walking to the fridge and someone says something and I turned around and went...
Yeah.
I was like, I can't believe...
Should we spoil it for the audience?
Don't spoil it.
Well, so there's a scene where a guy... There's two men in a car.
Yep.
Who, do you know the bit I'm about to say?
Yeah, but I feel like the preamble is the most like... Like, what led to that point is makes it seem even more ridiculous.
Okay, I'll not say.
Okay, well, so basically, it's a family, three daughters. They made friends with another family. The husband of the other family developed a friendship, and he developed a particular proclivity for one of the daughters, Jan. The parents were aware of it, and they were like, oh, yeah, it kind of angered us, but we thought, you know, whatever, carried on. And then he would end up staying over at their house multiple times, staying in Jan's bed. One day, the father was away, wasn't able to take Jan to horse riding class. He said, oh, I'll do it. Drugged her, took her away, abducted her for several days. The parents didn't call the police or the FBI until 5 days later because they were like, oh, maybe they're just horse riding or something.
That's the tip of the iceberg.
It's the tip of the iceberg.
Tip of the iceberg.
And so then, and prior to that as well, what turned out was that the man had... made sexual advances towards the wife of the other family. And so they had a little secret so she felt hesitant to actually go to the authorities about. And then later, the husband and this other guy had gone on a camping trip and the husband was like, and we were sat in the van and he looked over at me and he had an erection and he was like, man, I just need some relief. Would he help me out? Would he help brother out? And I was like, ugh. So I performed an act of masturbation and you're like, what
the fuck is going on?
So he's managed to like have sex with both of the parents from the other thing and abduct the child and then tried to marry it. But eventually he manages to return the child back to the house,
With the receipt. Does he have proof of purchase?
Proof of purchase. They don't speak to him for a few weeks, and then he becomes mates with them again, stays back at a house over, and abducts her a second time. And when he's abducted her a second time, the parents then know that this happened, and they know that he's had previous convictions of being a child abductor. But he said to them, oh, don't worry, I'm recovered now, but part of my therapy is to stay in the bed with little girls. And the parents are like, oh, sounds legit, okay.
They let him stay in the bed. There was a bit where it's like he was sleeping in her room 5 nights of every 7. In her bed, in
for
her
like
parents'
6 house.
6 months. But it's a very similar thing where...
Are the parents completely deranged?
Again, this is one of these questions where, are they delusional? Are they complicit?
Again, it starts off with, oh, he just wanted to take a horse riding once, and then very quickly becomes this mess of just...
It makes you so angry at the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, like, complete neglect.
It's great that you're watching these things.
I've just been steamrolled into watching things on Netflix these days.
I feel like regular TV is brain dead, pointless, but stuff like this is really interesting.
It's surely it must be as palatable as you can make television.
Yeah, it is. It's quite
a complex plot. There's quite a lot of information.
Big mixture of emotions. Yeah.
Because the thing is as well, like, no one ever has this conversation about Coronation Street. did you see the complexities of the metacognition of Roy Cropper? And you're like, no. Well, no.
Because it's all just...
Ken Barlow's.
So funny enough, there would be no Coronation Street plot that even came close to the ridiculousness of this.
And that's real.
Yeah, and this actually happened.
That is true.
You couldn't make this stuff up.
You couldn't. What else? Is he making a murderer?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
I saw one thing of it and then I was like,
so CBA. I think if you stuck with that,
persevere.
It's a very similar thing where it gets to the end and you're like, I can't believe this is happening.
Have you watched the second season?
No.
Second season's not as good, but just like the first season spanned 20 years, right? Mm. Pretty much your timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
The second one spans since then until now. So it's they're going to have to stretch this. But they've got, there's the lady lawyer who is representing him.
Right.
Is
oh yeah, she does pro bono.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
An absolute like proper.
Just wheeling the big minigun and just
pointing it. Yeah.
And when the noise is so uniform, it sounds like a single hum. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's another one called The Staircase. You seen that?
No.
It's about a guy's in the house with his wife, and his wife dies by falling down the stairs, and the police arrive, but there's like blood all down the stairs, like smeared everywhere. And he's like, she just fell down the stairs.
Is it in the UK?
No, it's in the US. And he's a famous author.
Mm. Fiction?
No, it's proper shit. Like police tapes and stuff. And people are like, and we came to the house and she's in a right mess. Like, she's blood everywhere. Like, all up the wall and everything. And he's like, yeah, she just must have fallen down the stairs. And that's great as
well. There'll be this camera footage that vindicates her where she just absolutely stacks it.
She's a bloody klutz.
Reminds me of this video. It went viral a few years ago of this guy who breaks up with his wife. Do you know about this? Where he creates like a trail, like a Valentine's trail.
Oh shit, yes. Have you seen it? It's really savage. I'll try and find it and link it in the show notes below. Yeah, it's like a incremental set of videos. This guy finds out his wife's been cheating, then leads her on this like Valentine's Day scavenger hunt thing through the house to the bed, and the bed's covered in roses, and it's at the end of it.
So there's like a card and it's shaped like a heart, and she has to go around and find the different things, and there's a clue written on each thing. She eats a chocolate and she gets up to the bed and it's like, this is the final stage of our little trail. We will then spend the next time at Northern Lights in the hail. I finally have one more question for you when I get down on one knee and ask you, who the fuck is Thomas Rue? And she looks up and he's just like, see you later. And he locks the door, puts the key through the door, and he's like, that's just proof so that the police know that I haven't got a key anymore. And he drives off into the night singing into her dildo.
oh my God.
Just films himself. And like the whole time, there's a lot of like excitement in his voice, but you can hear the tone of sadness underneath, where he's just like,
That's the way to deal with it, though. And like, he's British as well, isn't he?
Yeah,
like the guy, he's like from, yeah, he's like just Yorkshire or Leeds or something like that. And the guy, so it's very realistic, and it's all filmed in like 9:16 vertical.
Oh,
like,
right.
On like a front facing camera.
All right, darling, read clue number four, and then, okay, over to the next one. And you've got, and it's like, he's put like sparkles and glitter on the car.
You feel like he's had like a psychotic event when he's found out about it. He's like, masterminded this real.
Just accessed another level of cognition because he's been so hurt by it.
And then you're driving off with her dildo. Like, it's the final level of thought. Of
That's actualization, isn't it?
Actualization.
Self-actualization, like the dildo. You know what I mean? Like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and then at the very, very top, it's just the on the top is...
The tip of the dildo.
Tip of the dildo. Yeah, Liam Neeson. We were going to talk about Liam Neeson. This is a fucking minefield for us to...
So can we get some background on Liam Neeson?
For the people who don't know, Liam Neeson has...
a very particular set of skills.
Yes, he does. Well, he does, and that's the issue. Liam Neeson... That's the first sound video guy Dean's ever made, but he's not in the room. So Liam Neeson is promoting a new film, which I think is actually a dark comedy. I don't think it's actually an action film. It's a dark comedy about revenge. And during an interview, he is asked, how do you understand the emotions that are going through this? And in his very sort of dark, slow...
gravelly kind of way.
Irish voice, he says, well... I have a personal experience with this. A close friend of mine was raped, and I asked her, did she know the person? And she said no. And I said, what ethnicity was she? And she said it was a black man. So for the next few nights, I went out with a cosh, which is like a small baton, walking the streets of Ireland in black neighborhoods, looking for a black man to start on me so that I could kill him. And after a little bit of time, I sort of caught myself, and a lot of the emotions had drained a little, and I was able to be shocked at my own degree of behaviour. Nothing had occurred, but that's how I'm able to embody or understand this particular degree of revenge.
He talks about the shame that he felt on himself and said, I realised that even this was me feeling this in the context of living in Northern Ireland and... seeing all of the atrocities that are done, and yet still having falling prey to that same thought loop, and then realizing that actually I'm just as bad as them, and then so I guess he said he had that thought 40 years ago, was it?
Yeah.
And so people were slating him now.
They're calling him a racist
for having a thought 40 years ago that he's recognised.
He acted on it.
He did act on it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Supposed to no consequence, similar to as you said about the fire thing, where like. Nothing happened.
Well, I mean, so the thing that... So do you see John Barnes, the footballer...
Oh, he stuck up for him.
...has come out saying he's a hero. And you're like, I mean, fair enough, John Barnes. Not the first person I'd think of to call off.
No, no. Very, very peculiar, that, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You know,
like, where's that connection?
Do you know if Liam needed to call on someone of, like, a black heritage? You wouldn't be like, I'm going to ring John Barnes. Like, you'd have thought, like, Denzel. You know Denzel? I bet you know Denzel.
Yeah, he would ring Denzel. Very similar guys, aren't they?
Yeah. Like, Equalizer.
Denzel sort them out, wouldn't he?
Ainsley Harriet.
What? Like. What gravitas does Ainsley Harriet bring to the conversation other than being black? He is a lunatic, yeah. It's not Ainsley Harriet that does the adverts for the Travel Lodge, is it?
Give it, you've got to rub.
Get out and scrub. No,
Chris.
That's Lenny Henry, isn't it?
I mean, that's a smidge racist.
Well, no, the two similar aged British black like TV personalities.
Okay.
I think it's actually because Lenny Henry has a routine where he was approached by a certain media company saying, can you do this gig for us? And it slowly transpired that they thought he was Ainsley Harriet.
Is that true?
I think it's one of the routines that one of them has anyway.
Okay.
So
have you seen all of the Ainsley Harriet videos where people have like really taken it seriously?
They've gone full Video Guy Dean on it and edited him down to look
quite scary
creep. They put like horror music over the top,
It's like Ainsley Harriet on the top of a cliff, going like.
Why is he doing that?
And then he's like whisking this thing for ages, and
slowed down,
and getting yeah. And then he's rubbing meat. and just give you a good old rap. And there's a whole, like,
just a very harrowing series
on YouTube of this stuff.
Jesus, it'll be on Reddit or 4chan.
It will, yeah, something like that. But honestly,
I love how the internet does that. It just rolls with something.
It's just, yeah. Funny. And he'll have no idea why.
Yeah. So, yeah, Liam Neeson and then John Barnes. And there's been he's been the subject of an awful lot of derision for it, I suppose. Mm. Which is mad, because you are right. Like, it was 40 years ago. It was something. The main question is, can someone be held accountable for thoughts that they have? Because you are right, that's essentially all that happened. Mm. And the argument is, well, if it had been a Irish man, or if it had been a Swiss person, or a German, or a Asian, or whatever it is, the racism wasn't racism. It wasn't racism against people of black heritage. It was tribalism against anyone from the tribe of people who had attacked his friend.
He clarified this later as well, didn't he? He said, I was just looking for a symbol of my anger that I could...
Mm-hmm. It was an avatar, right? Yeah. He was looking for someone to outlet that aggression onto. And Sam Harris and Joe Rogan said, like, hit the nail on the head. And they were like, if you want people in the world to be able to learn from others' mistakes, like that situation, you're not going to get much more perfect than... This is a learning opportunity for everybody to understand someone who has everything to lose talking about a situation like this. Mm. So Liam Neeson, with all of his qualities and virtues that everyone admires him for, being this amazing actor and looking so cool, and, you know, like, he's everyone's perfect uncle, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
And you're like, and this guy has had the bravery to come out, and even he, as talented and famous as he is still falls prey to these kind of juvenile,
like, I suppose it's primal. Should he not have thought it, or should he not have said that he thought it? Because those are the only two things that have happened, and people are criticizing him. So I'm sure most people have had a dark thought at some point in their life.
But the lesson is here that you're not allowed, that if you have a dark thought like that,
you can't never talk about it. Yeah,
as if that's the solution.
So he got the cosh out and he walked out with it. Mm. So it's more than a dark thought, isn't it? That's what everyone's going to say.
Okay. So I suppose it's, that's an action of someone in a very emotional, he's very upset, very angry, mm-hmm. taking a step towards acting on something, mm-hmm. but caught himself before he did it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still better than acting on it.
Well, definitely, yeah.
So it is a difficult one, though. I see that.
You know, there are people, especially the thought police kind of people that try and jump on things like this. They are under this illusion or lie that they don't have prejudices, as if they're somehow these, like, beacons of... It's like, everyone has prejudices. The data shows that, like, so fat people is a particular example, that the data shows that people who look at photos of fat people on average will rate them as less intelligent and less charismatic or less likable. And there's certain qualities that, or lazy, they say
lazy,
as well.
Smelly, all those sorts of things. Like, they associate it with lack of discipline, I think, don't they? And what that feeds into.
And so, that, you know, there would be similar ones with all kinds of minorities or groups of people, but
any characteristic.
Yeah, any characteristic.
Someone who's got curly hair, someone who's tall, someone who's short.
And actually, you have to be able to discriminate to be able to navigate your way in the world. So it's not as if you just eliminate all of that, people be like, oh, I'm blind to color, or I'm blind to whatever. It's like, that's not...
You're not very effective. It's effective actor there, are you?
Yeah, it's... Well, it's just not possible. Like, you know, this is...
It's the same about people who... I remember the reason I watched the Fire documentary was my, like, Instagram, social media, like, lights up with everyone's got an opinion on why he was shit. But, like, you don't know... it's easy to just look at him, look at a guy who's, like, tried to make something fantastic and it's gone down the shit, and he really made a mess of it in lots of ways. But, like, at one point... It started off as a great idea and a brilliantly executed idea that might have been fantastic.
Mm.
And no one knows how they would have reacted in his situation when they were faced with this, like, fucking hell, like, I've taken this too far.
It's very easy to sit from the armchair and be like, oh.
Well, actually, most people couldn't even get anything to that point.
Another scene from the Fire Festival documentary has come in my head, which is Ja Rule sat on that Google Hangout with everyone in the room. And he's going, like, fucking hell, guys, like, you know, we don't need to worry, yeah? Like, nobody died. And you're like, okay, like, yes, yeah, you're right, nobody died. And what's the example that he uses?
I remember watching that and thinking, like, it could have been quite likely people could have died on that.
Yeah, yeah. He uses an example of, like, some company that came back from the...
Oh, yeah,
from the brink and was like, look, they came... No, that was one of the examples that was used. That was used by the other guy, wasn't it? But it's like, you know, like, oh, it's at Samsung. It's like, oh, Samsung, you know, they're blowing up phones in people's pockets. Like, you know, we're not killing anyone. You're like... Right, yeah, maybe. You're not fucking Samsung either, are you?
They had quite a lot of reputation before
the phone started. Well, they didn't open up with a brand new phone that blew people's legs off. Have you seen as well, you will have done, because you get on flights all the time to weddings, don't you?
Constantly.
Have you seen now that if you drop your phone in between the seats of a plane, you're not supposed to move your seat or try and get the phone yourself? You need to bing and wait for the attendant the to come.
Why?
Because their concern is if you have like a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 or whatever the fuck it is,
mistake,
and you move your seat back, crack it,
right,
and the lithium battery goes, that everyone's up in fucking
flames. This is why you shouldn't be allowed on a plane unless you've got an iPhone. And everything would be much simpler because the people who've made bad decisions would be confined to where they live.
That is true.
We're going to get a lot of hate for that.
Rory Sutherland says the same. He's like, you know... After a while, people don't care about clock speed or megapixels for the front-facing camera. After a while, they just want something that looks nice.
Mm.
You're like, well, that's it. That's exactly why.
So the fact that you have an iPhone and you have a MacBook is the explanation of why it's a better decision.
You are canary in the coal mine for...
But you shop on features. You don't care about the fact. Like,
I do AirPods. Have this, though. This is like, okay... But quite an old iPhone.
If you were like the Google Pixel or like whatever the latest Samsung is, probably on a features per pound basis is much better.
That's not my criteria though.
Yours is integration with existing.
Yeah, it's like convenience, integration, and speed of access for stuff, which is why Alfred is the closest thing to my heart that anything ever could.
Where's
be.
Where's your hat?
I've got it for the webinar.
Webby.
George got me a lovely Christmas present, which is a cap that says "Make Alfred Great Again."
It's so fucking good.
They don't even have an affiliate scheme. Like, Alfred, what are you doing?
You're in touch with them.
Yeah.
You do know that if 95 to 98% of people who are listening won't know what Alfred is, and they're thinking, this fucking Alfred fella's good, isn't he? They've got a hat made about him.
Sounds like a nice lad.
Yeah, he's a bloody good fella. I tell you what, if Liam Neeson had had Alfred...
Oh, he wouldn't have had these problems.
He wouldn't have done it all.
So why did you buy a MacBook rather than a PC? Because you didn't buy it because you thought Alfred exists.
Yeah, I didn't. But I think use a PC for 3 minutes and it'll answer that question.
So many people, like, because where I used to work, everyone has PCs. And
this is that mandatory as well?
Yeah, it's just what their systems run on.
So we've both worked in companies where you're forced to use a Windows PC. Computer. And time you're just...
I feel like when you speak to someone who uses a PC, they think Mac's like, oh, I can't use it. There's no my computer. There's no... You know, no control panel. What do I do?
That onboarding process to learn to use a Mac is about 30 minutes, isn't it? Like, I think that's such a weak excuse to say, like, oh.
It is like using... The only comparison that I can make between having a MacBook and having anything else is... Actually, no, I've never used Linux
I've used Linux, but it's...
I see that as boring. like stabilizers off. Like, really good if you can make it work.
Mm.
Or you just...
It's not...
It's like ABC.
So it used to... I think about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, if you had a bit of developing knowledge, you could really use Linux to your advantage and it was at the forefront. Now Mac has even overtaken that and there are a lot of developers moving over to using Mac as a thing. Mm. And the problem with PC is that because it's incumbent, because large banks and there's lots of corporate use of Microsoft... Even though it's terrible and even though there's so much problems with it, because the cost of switching everything over is so large.
I don't know. I've never, ever walked into Santander or like Lloyd's and looked behind and go,
everyone's got
new iMac
Pros.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. It's not happening.
Some of that will be cost.
Oh, yeah, big stuff. But
processing power.
It's so ironic because like if they add up all... I mean, how... Let's say if you were to add up all the time that you spent waiting for a computer at your old job... like per day.
Well, not even that. The amount of times I had to repair my computer.
Okay, so the number of work hours that total labor that's lost multiplied by all the employees of the company, it's got to go into the...
Five on a MacBook Pro, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's
like using a different machine. It's a different category of everything.
Mm. Have you ever played in a phone shop with a different phone that isn't an iPhone?
Not for a long time.
I just feel like, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I feel like using it is more cumbersome in every way.
Mm.
I would honestly love, if anyone's watching this on YouTube and you have a sincere objection to, or some reason that we're overlooking as to
why should we use a Google Pixel? Why should we use a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 or a LG?
I'm all ears. Like, I'd be keen to switch if there's some convincing reason.
Most of the people that have said to me you should switch, that it's on either on price or because they don't like Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So like my reason for not buying a Samsung is not because I don't like Samsung, it's because I like Apple and what Apple make and everything just talks to each other.
I want to like Samsung. I want to like a PC.
But you're just a contrarian.
Well, if it's much better, then great.
Yeah.
But you're right, like, but if you had to then buy a Samsung laptop to get the same connectivity, you would have a worse experience than what you have now.
The downstream effects of changing that device are... AirPods don't work.
Oh, iPod. God, they really have got us locked in.
iPad won't sync up. Like, laptop's not going to sync up.
Even things like, if we all went to a cafe and I had the password for the Wi-Fi and you two didn't, press a button and you both got the password.
Yeah.
You know, so that little things like that. Someone sat and thought, what's someone's life like with a MacBook? And then let's make it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
It's changed David's life. He was staunchly one of these like, I hate Apple. I'm not paying £300 for a laptop, which was a second-hand refurbished Apple MacBook. I was like, that's honestly a steal.
The fucking deal of the century.
And he was like, no. And I was like, look, just bite the bullet, do it. I had to bully him into buying one. He eventually did. And now like, after a couple of weeks of his ego kind of, so he's been like, you know what, Yusuf?
Yeah.
Has he got Alfred?
No, I have to take him step by step. He's a big technophobe, but he's like, why didn't I do this earlier? This has made my life so much better.
Has he got an iPhone?
He used to have a Chromebook. I think you saw it.
Yeah, it was falling apart.
It was held by two little threads and like all the plastic was peeled off and he had to like hold it like that and hold the plug in the socket as well. Otherwise it would flicker off and it would only work if you held it at a certain angle. And I was like, David, you've really ran that into the ground. Like, do not feel guilty about treating yourself to a new device at this stage.
Unbelievable. But yeah.
Liam Neeson.
New AirPods as well.
New AirPods coming out in March.
How do you know that? Because weirdly,
you said.
I Googled this yesterday.
Yeah. Do you know what it was? Oh, God.
Is it not true?
No.
Have you lied?
I saw some related video for something and it said, best knockoff AirPods, $50.
Right.
And there was a guy reviewing these knockoff AirPods. And then the thing after that said AirPods 2. So I looked up AirPods 2.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, they do like a matte black version that's going to come out next month with some other features. It just doesn't excite me at all. my Bean Pods are lovely.
I think the features are wireless charging and Hey Siri being...
I can't believe that's not part of the...
You just double tap it.
Yeah, you double tap to activate.
Okay, I've got Hey Siri on MacBook now.
Did you not have it before?
No.
I just had to remove it.
It's a special setup you have to do to enable Hey Siri.
Oh, what, that it just picks it up?
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. We'll go over that in Lifehacks 1027.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I'll go through
it. That's so exciting. Can we do Lifehacks now?
Cool. I'm just having a look here. So it's saying that... the potential release date will be within the next couple of months. Latest news, AirPods 2, if this is true, it's so shit. AirPods 2 will reportedly sport a grippier new coating to make the plastic less prone to slipping out of your hands and ears. Another feature, improved bass, although the design is expected to remain the same. Another thing, which could be quite cool, would be that you could have biometric sensors in them. So you'd be able to have like...
tracking.
Fitness tracking from your ears.
So
that would only work when you've got... For the people who are listening, Yusuf's making a rude gesture with his crotch.
I was just stretching my arm.
Yeah.
Just backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Racking up steps.
Yeah, we're gonna do a Lifehacks episode.
So hold on. No, about that. Apparently, if you have an Apple Watch and these new AirPods, the Apple Watch can measure your heart rate, but the AirPods can measure
temperature.
Like volume, like pulse volume or something.
What do you mean the volume?
I don't know.
Do you mean the volume?
No. It to do with like the... I don't know. Help me out, man. Help me out. Paul, this is your bit.
So this because I know the Apple Watch has an ECG apparently. Yeah.
So something to do with because it can feel your blood flowing,
like it blood pressure.
Picks up something else. I don't know. It was in a TechCrunch article I read.
The bottom line is that you need to buy a pair of AirPods, and they'll change your life.
Who doesn't in the Modern Wisdom group have them?
Just him.
Did George and Jordan both get them?
Yep. Off the back of Lifehacks 101.
I don't think I'll get anything out of
it. The trouble is now is that it's got to the point where...
It's meta now, isn't it?
To get them, they'd have to be so good.
We've created an entire narrative.
If you got
them
immediately and they were like, these are quite good. And
I've one of the people's and I'm like, these don't stay in my ear properly. The sound's a bit rubbish. Like, you've got to charge them separately. And it looks like you're wearing a tampon in your ear. The whole package just doesn't do it for me.
I think what you're now doing is
justifying post hoc. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see why you'd think that. However,
because also, if we got you some, that would, I think, make it worse.
I would honestly be annoyed at you if you, because I know my birthday is coming up, and I know that you've probably like considered it, and I will be very annoyed. Like, and I'm not just saying this. Like, oh, guys, don't bother. Don't give me anything. Like, I'll be actively upset.
Do you remember what we got him last year? Go him ham. You don't eat ham.
You just like to like
AirPods. Ham, AirPods are the audible ham. AirPods are listening ham.
But you
didn't you try a bit of the ham.
I did. It was all right. But it was so.
It was the ham. You said you really liked
Parma ham.
Yeah.
So had a slice of it.
They got the shoehorn.
The Thomas the Tank Engine. Birthday card.
Shoehorn's incredible. Like, it works as a weapon as well.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Dean has one. The ham was okay.
Mixed bag on the ham.
It was a Parma ham, but people have said to me afterwards, oh, you shouldn't have just eaten it on its own. You have to, like...
If it was like a baguette or something.
Yeah.
Or
like, it's like someone buying you, like, a rotisserie chicken and you just...
Eating it cold out of the packet.
Yeah. I see. And I was just like, oh, it's all right.
It's
but
okay.
I see.
Because we were late to go to Coop because we had to go back to Amy's house so you could put the Parma ham in the fridge.
Yeah.
And this time, I think you're going to have to go back to charge the AirPods.
External charger, fine. Before we go, what have we got coming up? What episodes are we going to do coming up? So we're going to do... Oh, this may come out after Lifehacks 107.
So either in the past or the future...
Of podcast
land. We may have done or will be doing.
Yes. Lifehacks 107.
Yeah.
What it's really like running a business.
Yeah.
How to survive after university, after we had that one requested.
The trouble with that is we've got to go... up to death, haven't we?
And we're gonna run out.
How to survive? Because it's everything after university. So bear attacks, nuclear holocaust, famine.
Bear attacks.
It's the first thing I thought of.
I mean, the trouble is,
you can't get attacked by a bear if you're at university. So
there are bear free zones because once you matriculate,
they open the gates and you see massive fields and it goes on for miles and there's bears and battles and.
Asteroids. Have you not seen it? Like when you open the gates from university, it's just a bunch of like sullen bears, you know, like kind of just kicking their heels on the floor.
And you're like, oh,
smoking, wearing leather jackets.
With one foot against the wall. Leaning back.
I just can't believe how fast they run.
Bears. Oh, terrifying.
They run fast.
Oh, yeah.
But like proper clumpy run.
Much faster than you or I could run.
Shit.
Yeah. I think the trouble with seeing a bear or a bear that has decided I'm attacking him is there's nothing you can do about it.
So I've seen the survival guides where they say you need to like put your hands over your head and go,
make yourself as big and scary as possible.
But like, I would still not back myself to try that and think like, I really hope whoever wrote this isn't just having a laugh because otherwise like...
You're dead as a frog, aren't
you? Yeah. Oh, so dead. Hard.
Dead especially a bear with a tarp.
Told you.
Yeah. Like, on a bit of a buzz.
Yeah, he's on a backy bus wearing a sleeveless leather jacket.
Like torn off.
Yeah, dusters.
Yeah. Just say bear on each of them.
Piss and hate.
That was one of the would you rathers, wasn't it? Like a bear with an axe or a shark with a shotgun.
The trouble with a bear with an axe, so a bear doesn't have opposable thumbs and a shark doesn't have hands.
And it's underwater.
A shotgun probably still shoot. Like where's the shotgun? Is it just mounted here?
Oh, terrifying.
So the shark has to go like...
Harness.
And then it shoots. Because a shark doesn't have a neck either.
So it's just fake.
It just does that with its head.
Well, you could argue that a shark is all neck. It's just a face attached to a neck.
A shark is the most terrifying thing. I honestly cannot think of anything worse than
big python for me.
Big squid for me. Really? You know, like the giant squid.
A shark is a big tube of muscle. They swim 30 miles an hour, man. 10 foot long.
Even if you could punch it as hard as you could and it wouldn't.
You just have to bucking bronco it, like grab it, hug it, and just hold on.
I tell you what, you should follow on Twitter, which is definitely worthwhile, is extinct animals and rare animals.
Right.
If you search that, they're both quite big, quite big Twitter accounts. And they just put up like all of this mad megafauna shit from 5 million, 50 million years ago. It's like, here is a extinct giant chipmunk that grew to be 8 feet high and had like,
Jesus,
like those things that had six eyes, things that had like horns coming out of their
heads. Why is that not around now?
Well, because
so boring.
There was a number of large extinctions and then mammals won, and we're part of that.
I went to see Brian Cox.
Shit.
Should have spoken about that.
I can't fucking believe that you went to go see him.
Absolutely.
You blow your dick off.
Just space time. Just being, having someone explaining using a graph and maths, space time. You know, like,
he was saying on Joe Rogan that they've basically, for this show, they're just filling the entire back of stadiums with LED screens.
Yeah.
And they have, I think it's like 100 and something square meters of LED paneling. And
that's then so expensive.
Per show, they just fit it. So like Metro Radio Arena might be like 60, but then they're playing like Wembley and it's like 90. Oh, and then they're playing somewhere in America and it's like, oh, we can only get 50. But they just go in and apparently the engineers are just like clagging these things.
It's very cinematic. So as he's speaking, he's like, so they've got the, so Interstellar, the way they create a black hole in Interstellar is with an algorithm that morphs the backdrop. So they had a star backdrop. So black sky and stars, run this algorithm and it creates a black hole. Using what we understand of the science.
So it's a simulation, not a rendering?
Yeah.
Because then it's an actual simulation. So they plug in the universal constants to this. So it's
it creates this.
Yes.
So it is accurate what you see.
It's exactly how it appears.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
He just thinks everything's going to be absorbed ultimately in black holes.
I love how we sat down for this being like, I don't know if we'll have enough to talk about.
We've still got shitloads to talk about.
Being attacked by a bear. Space time, fire festival.
The only problem is you come to the end of this and you're like, how do you title it?
Yeah, I don't know. If you've got any ideas what we should call this series, we were going to call it Catching Up. Or just
Samsung
like
versus Apple.
It's just buy a pair of fucking AirPods. That's what it should be called.
We could crowdsource.
Get progressively bullied into...
If everyone sends us a quid, we'll buy you some AirPods.
Easily.
I'll have to... But then that'll cause an admin hassle for me, because I'll have to go and find everyone who donated a quid, return it to them, and...
Just sell a pair of AirPods and then.
So you're gonna pay for the AirPods using £1 donations.
Well, if that's if you're crowdsourcing it and then you get the AirPods, I have to then return the AirPods and find everyone's pounds and give it back to them.
Anyway, what else we got coming up? So we got the House of Five. Oh yeah, I sent you that screenshot of that girl who is teaching year threes to do power poses.
And they call
it the superhero pose. So we did an episode on confidence. It's when you were away. You were at a wedding.
I think I did the confidence one.
You did confidence. You didn't do.
Oh, maybe you did. I can't remember. Was another anyway, one. Yeah. It's How to Get Lean. And in that, I cited an erroneous study about power poses, and now it's been trickled down to some year threes.
You're affecting kids' lives, Chris.
I genuinely am. I'm really sorry, but there is a primary school teacher that's making kids do that and they call it the superhero pose. And I said, that's really cool. Would you be able to send me a photo? She said, yes. But now she's had to check with each of the parents individually.
So you've caused her an admin.
Fucking huge amount of downstream. I'm like, messaged her the other day and I'm like, you don't need to do it. I don't really mind. No.
To be honest, they'll probably get a placebo benefit from it.
Hmm.
Yeah,
if they think it's doing something.
It's the most reliable effect in all of pharmacology, isn't it?
It's like when you ask your Pakistani grandma asks you, like, do you like some food? And you're like, oh, I'm a bit hungry. No, it's all right. No, don't worry. I will. And you're like,
fuck, she's gone. She's away.
Nana, don't worry about it. It's fine. I will make. And she's like cooking up biryani and like getting the chicken. And you're like, no, it's all right. Don't worry, none of you.
You know how if you take a drug, there's an effect of the drug, like an intended effect, and then usually a side effect that we may either understand or not understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the case with a placebo effect?
Can you get side effects from placebo?
Like, is placebo anything that can be measured? And if so, is there a side effect?
Oh, I see. Yeah, so you can influence neurotransmitters, and the crazy thing about placebo is, like, you can actually produce almost any sign. Like, you can produce skin signs, and like, if you give someone what they think is an allergen, they might start getting like a rash or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
And there would be no side effect of that, because it's just your body reacting how...
I suppose you could get the side effects that someone expects to get. So the amazing thing is, like, the expectation and the power of the mind on all of the human systems is... It's so weird, because it's like you have so much control over your body, but you don't have that control. It's like...
It's just buy-in, isn't it? It's like... which is why the preamble to so much of this stuff is so important. Like, if you sell someone, and this again is obviously why,
even if you know, so if you write on a thing like memory pills, and you know that it's sugar and you're taking it, even though you're the one that put the sugar pills in the thing, it still has an effect. So placebo doesn't get negated by knowing that it's placebo.
So then
it must be down regulated.
So if back when I was 17 and took Tribulus, are you saying that because I thought this is working,
this is going to be the...
That there might have been some change? Or is it not... Are we not talking hormone level?
No. Really? Well, like, could do, yeah.
So actually knowing that it doesn't work is the worst thing that can happen to you?
Ignorance is bliss.
I suppose also, like, taking a Tribulus at 17, like, you probably, probably have all of the signs of high testosterone anyway, so...
You did, didn't you? Jacked.
I don't know what you mean.
Just swole.
Jacked, 17.
I mean, I feel like I had quite a high testosterone when I was 17.
Allergic to nuts and jacked.
Yeah.
So, another thing. Did you see that the How to Survive University, I sent you this screenshot, got shared around a bunch of schools in Papua New Guinea?
It's the internet, man.
So mental. there was a guy that contacted me and said that, I don't know whether it's expats with kids out there or whether it's Papua New Guineans that are coming over to university in the UK, but basically said, like, we've got a lot of students that are 16, 17 and are going to go to university over the next year. I've made them all watch How to Survive University.
Wow.
Because I think it's all of the stuff that they need to know.
Shit like that makes me think, like, what did I say? Like, what did we advise?
The level of responsibility is so much higher when you realise that people actually listen.
It's annoying when it's only post hoc and you're like, but it was quite a good episode.
We should just get, like, a big warning screen at the beginning. Like, the following is just an opinion.
Not medical advice. Yeah. Please heed, like, legal,
Yusuf
medical.
Is a doctor.
You are.
This, but the following is not medical advice.
So I'm going to have to start qualifying. I am not your doctor.
Because you can't say not a doctor because you are. That's hilarious. What was that, Tony Robbins? I am not your mentor.
I am not your guru.
I am not your doctor.
Yeah.
Let's get you on Netflix.
I'd love to see you on that. I'll tell you what, another awesome statistic for you that Daniel Sloth gave me and Video Guy Dean was that to record Jigsaw and Dark for Netflix, single show, hour and a half-ish or so of recording, $40,000 each.
Per episode.
£40,000 to record an hour, like 90 minutes.
So that's nowhere near as much as I thought it would be.
What, to record 90 minutes of stuff, $40,000?
And to get it on Netflix?
No, just to record it.
Like, the cost of the cameras, paying all the actors, and it must be like 30 people.
It's a featuring. Comedy special stand-up show of him on his own.
Oh, I thought you meant Dark, the German TV show.
Oh, no. So it's a...
Is that what you were thinking?
No.
No, so it's a comedian, stand-up, on stage, 90 minutes, just him, recorded to the spec that Netflix require it to be done at. And then he did it. And what he did was he'd funded it out of his own pocket.
Did Netflix pay ahead of time?
No. So he was doing this and it hadn't even been picked up by Netflix. But his agent was like, look, like, fuck it. You're doing this tour. You're doing your routine. And he does a new routine every year. He's like, look, you need to...
What? So you make it to the spec of Netflix just in case they put in a bid?
In case they want it. And that's what he did. That's how, and he'd done both of these things. And apparently, like, the last show of the tour, and it was the one that he'd recorded for Jigsaw, pretty much like that day or the next day, got off stage, called from Netflix, we want it. And the way that they did it, they will, once they accept that they want it, they'll front you the cash, because not everyone's got 80 grand lying around. And they said, got 120 grand for you here. He went, thank you very much. Cost me 80. Pushed it back to them, like, took the money, gave them the videos.
Wow. So you, so there were presumably people that are going broke by making a production.
Netflix running out of working capital, essentially. There must be, actually, yeah.
So is there, so he profited in that instance, but is there no, or he gave them the balance back?
No. I think he took the profit.
But is there any other gain from having a show on Netflix?
What, massive exposure? Like, is that it? Conan O'Brien and so. I don't know whether he actually gets paid for it. I'm going to guess they'll have to buy the thing.
Because I've often wondered, so Darren Brown is a good example of this, had a bunch of Channel 4 documentaries and has put them all on Netflix now.
Mm.
And then he's done his most recent one for Netflix.
Yeah.
So, like, how is that monetized?
Maybe it's not Darren, maybe it's like, it's the Channel 4 legal company team that are then, because they own the rights to distribution.
It won't be Darren that owns the rights. I don't think so. Definitely won't.
And then also, Spotify, if you're a band on Spotify, do you get paid by listen minutes?
Or? Yeah, so you get paid per stream, but it's a pittance. It's tiny, 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 tiny amounts.
It just all feels very much like the... Because if it's not in it for the content producers, the quality of content's just going to plummet over time.
Well, that's all mm-hmm.
But I suppose that it just becomes the buyer's market for content. Like, if Netflix have a monopoly on content or Spotify, yeah, you can sell your stand-up show to Hulu stand-up or whatever, and no one's going to care. And so then people start putting in bids and broking themselves potentially by... Because there must be shows that don't make Netflix, but they've recorded it to the specification.
I think based on what Daniel was saying, the way that he did it is very alien. Like, most people fronting it and having such a big dick that they think, I haven't been asked to record this, but I'm so confident in my quality that I'm going to do it. And he'd done it.
So he had no hedge.
I suppose he's doing it anyway, though, isn't he?
Zero stop loss.
He's recording.
But not at the spec of Netflix.
Right. So he's taking a small risk.
He's taking a lot. Like, I don't think he'd have... Like, he was recording them and put them out on YouTube, but it wasn't... It would have been, like, $5,000 or something probably to have got it done. Like,
who was really annoyed at Daniel Sloss for the windy neck in comment on Twitter? Do you remember? Where he was like, it's so arrogant to assume that out of all the people in the world, there's only one of them that's good enough for you. Wind your neck in.
Yeah.
Like,
A lot of people got cross. A lot of people. And the views are picking up. There's this weird thing that YouTube does where it's like, there's a little hump that you've got to get over. And we did it with Sargon, and it's happened with Daniel as well now. And it's like, it just sort of trickles along. And then it just gets over this ridge and just fucking freewheels away. So we've done like more than 50% of the views over the last couple of days, even though it's been up for like nearly 2 weeks now.
It's whether, because we have that with our videos, like the videos that have a lot of views keep getting views. Mm. Videos that have no views get no views.
It's true.
So this is one for, maybe Video Mandine can do a cameo. But
you can't hear him and you can't see him when he comes in front of the camera, nothing happens. Anyway, so to finish.
It could just be code. Right?
Yeah, it's lines of Matrix code. What else have we got that's coming up? We're going to do...
So life hacks, maybe relationships, if anyone's keen on it.
We need to do the
Instagram funnel.
God. Oh, yeah. I think we've got enough for a life fails as well. If you
so I've got
you've got enough for our entire podcast.
Yeah, I've got under life fails. So I had one. It came to me in the same way I've been keeping a life hacks diary and keeping a life fails diary. And a life fail came to me. Noted it down. I was in the gym and I was like, brilliant. I've got one because I didn't have any.
Mm.
Noted it down in the gym. Went back to training.
What did you note it down on? Did you have your iPod shuffle?
Just on notes. Just
on your phone.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you bringing your phone to the gym now?
I need to for programming, which is slightly annoying. But I'm pretty good. I'm still quite, like, disciplined with it. Hey, Siri. Yeah, I could have done. But...
Even while you're in a handstand. Just, hey, Siri.
See that? Double tap. I can't do single arm handstand.
That's a selling point. Handstand, hey, Siri.
You wouldn't even have to do that.
And I've got life fails, and I've gone back and I've had a look, and I've just written the word anal.
Oh, God.
And I'm like...
But are you about to say forgotten?
Yeah.
Anal. I hate when that happens. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, I've got an appointment on a calendar. So I go to the date and I just write 9 a.m. 21st April. And then you get to the time and you're like, oh no.
This could be the best example of that is what you told me, that you went to see Yusuf and he was sat eating a bowl of spinach. And you're like, why are you eating spinach?
Well, that was successful.
Like, I don't know, it's in my calendar.
Well, because I trust the research that past Yusuf has done.
But surely it's like when we go to Coop and you order a whole chicken and we go, why are you doing that? And you say, well, it's because I need to eat more. Because you can't just, if you just have spinach the one time in a bowl.
No, but
if you just eat more when you're at Coop, like that, surely that needs to be.
It should become a habit.
Yeah. But I mean, what would have been probably a little bit more accurate would have been had a reminder come up as I arrived at your house saying, remember to eat. And you'd have been like, what? How much? Why? When? Like, at least the anal thing would have been like, it would have prompted me. At least I'd have been able to remember what I was talking about. But I have no idea what it is. So it may come back to me or it may not.
Does anal not trigger anything? Because anal's not, it can't relate to that many things.
I don't think it was about anal. I think I must have written something. It's auto-corrected it to anal. And then I don't know.
No, that's T9, isn't it? Remember the old like number of texting?
Right.
Call, cock, and anal are all the same combination of
knowledge of stuff like this.
Jesus Christ. Right. Thank you very much for watching. Please do not forget to press subscribe. Share the episodes. Propanefitness.com will be linked in the show notes below. And make sure that you go and check out. What should they go and check out? Go check out the episode with Rory Sutherland from a couple of weeks ago.
That's good.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.